And live from the highbrow room, it's Sleep Time's Over with DJ Zach Morris and Jaylene.
Here we go, we got them all. We're just gonna put them all on, because you know why? It's the third annual. Is that what this show is? Yes, it's damn right this is what the show is, because I'm gonna start it this way. It's the Halloween episode, first of all. It's the third annual Halloween episode. Just want to put that out there. We're gonna go something a little different, okay? Because I'm riled up right now, okay? I'm what better time for Halloween to be pissed off and be stressed out than today? Well, it's not Halloween yet, but we'll release this right before Halloween. And that's how we're gonna start this, the third annual special. I'm gonna be pissed off. I'm gonna be ranting about something. Jaylene, you better have something to say. You better have something to ask me, something to inquire about. I'll leave it at that.
All right.
So yeah, we can just do this. Stone Cold Steve Austin, you don't know who that is.
No.
So we start that way. Jaylene, what did you do this past weekend? Let's go with this.
I went to Hullabaloo, kind of.
Okay, that's in downtown, correct?
Yes, in Chinatown area, they close off the block.
Yeah.
And I guess they had Ja Rule, like, performing.
All right, there we go, block is hot. Good.
At the Aloha Tower, but we didn't really know what time that was, so we, like, showed up to a hotel, like, ready to go, and, like, asking security, like, yo, like, where's Ja Rule? And, like, oh, it's over. I was like, oh, okay. So we walk over to like, what's that street where, like, Manifest and Encore? That
Hotel Street, bro.
Yes, Hotel Street. And, yeah, we just kind of check out the scene, but there's a bunch. Obviously, there's a whole lot of line. We stood in line for one of the bars, and we're like, it was such a tease because we went so last minute, we didn't buy the wristband that you can get access to the clubs or whatever.
That's right.
So, like, we were literally, like, the next people in line, and there's, like, a group of seven of us, and, like, next people in line. But I swear we were waiting there because we didn't have wristbands for a good 25 minutes, just watching everybody else go in with the wristbands. So I was like, you know what, forget this, let's go somewhere else. Like, we're literally just standing here. So we end up going, and I feel ashamed to say this.
You went to the social.
No.
Okay.
One more try, and then I'll tell
guess.
You. One more try.
Is it an Asian racer bar?
It's very close to it. It's not a bar, but it might as well be.
Is it on Korea Moku? Did I get it?
We went to District.
Hey, there you go. Good. Shout out to Clint Torres out there, District. Shout out to Katie Daly. Yeah, that's right. They work at the District.
Yes.
You know Katie Daly? You follow her on the Instagram?
I do not follow her, but I know of her.
All she does is flex and does boomerangs of her butt. But that's fine.
Sounds
so
exciting.
She's there. Yeah, she's there. You can get bottle service from her. And what were you guys doing at what time of the night was this?
Actually, fairly early. I think that was, we ended up at District before midnight. Like, it was like 11 or so.
Okay.
Yeah. So we got there, and it was really packed. Not that I didn't expect it to be, but I was in, like, a gypsy. I was Esmeralda.
Yeah, who are you dressed? That's right.
Yeah, I was Esmeralda. I took a break from, like, the bodysuit kind of things, because I was, as you know, 2 years ago I was Raven, so I had, like, the
Raven Simone? Who are you, Raven?
No, Teen Titans Raven.
Because, you know, that wouldn't be so Raven. Sorry, I had to. Sorry. So were you sexy Esmeralda?
I was not. I try to go with real costumes, so I avoid the sexy, slutty.
Oh, so you're blank. Conservative. Like what Esmeralda really is, like a lesbian or something, right?
Like a lesbian.
Isn't she dressed up like I saw this on the Snapchat. That's what the kids do, right? You snapped you.
I snapped, yes.
And then you put, like, the question, who am I?
That was actually IG.
Okay,
Snapchat,
IG story.
I just put
that's
it
right.
out there, but IG story, that's I asked
right.
the question.
There you go. Did people know who you were?
Some people did.
Okay.
But to be honest, even when I was on the street, like, I feel like people semi knew who I was, but, like, I feel like nobody really watched Hunchback. Like, you probably just, like, recognize that's, you know, Quasimodo and Esmeralda. But
hey, Quasimodo, shout
really,
out. Stone's
like,
throw.
I don't remember watching Hunchback.
I've never watched any of that.
See, look, we always circle back to Disney movies. It all comes back to
Disney. Well, Disney owns everything. Might as well we just talk about it, too.
But anyways, yeah.
I never watched any of that.
I was wearing, like, the long skirt and, like, the three-quarter sleeve top and everything. So it was packed. And I was just, like, after a little while, I was just done. Like,
so did you feel, like, out of place? There. Well, because, like, you're the only one that's not in the sexy version of their costume. Like, you have sexy accountant or sexy, you know, dentist. And then you have Esmeralda as just Esmeralda with fully clothed, you know.
A little
bit,
honestly.
Did you feel off, like, you wanted to just take something off?
I wouldn't say I wanted to take something off, but I did feel a little bit off.
All right.
You know.
So that was on Saturday?
Yes.
Okay. And then that led to district.
What led to district?
That was the
whole
culmination of that.
Yes, and then we went to Zippy's where I was where I was spilt upon with A1 steak sauce and water.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Your good friend Rachel.
One of the bitches? I figured.
She was shaking the bottle and I guess like it wasn't.
Gotta be a Filipino to do that.
So wearing the white peasant top, got the A1 sauce in it, and if that wasn't enough, I don't know what she was doing with someone was recording, and for the gram she started doing whatever, and she moved her hand and she knocked the water like right onto me, like so I was sitting in a puddle of water, and she's like, oh, let me
and A1 like, and yeah,
so it was great. I was
sucking bitch. But yeah, so that's why you did not dress up as Esmeralda for the Halloween show here.
I was gonna dress up today. I was very excited because I legit put all the pieces together. Obviously, I didn't sew the costume myself, but it's not like I went on and bought the set. Like I bought everything separate and I put it together myself, and I was really excited. But yeah, so
And now it looks like you're just like about to go like eat like s'mores like by a campfire or something. That's fine. You know, it still matches the color. So. That was on Saturday.
Yes.
Filipinos screw up your night. Can't dress up for this. Anything else happened to you? Sunday, Monday.
I just we went to dinner for my dad's birthday.
His dad's birthday?
Yesterday. Yes, he turns 48 tomorrow.
Wow. Yes. So in case any of you guys are wondering, how old Jaylene is. Well, we can't really reveal your age because you're not supposed to, like, like as a girl, you're not supposed to, like, say, hey, everyone. I'm like, but you're under, let's say you're under 25.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just to, for the record, in case she doesn't know things like, Jay Ruta Damager. It's going to be my first reference of that. Watch, everyone. That's going to be a recurring thing. So, anything else happened?
Not really, no. What about you? Anything exciting today?
Well,
not today, this weekend?
Let's see. Let's backtrack, shall we? Let's go to. Did something happen? I DJ'd at Scratch on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people from what they call the high school came. Apparently what's been happening is these high school people are coming out of the woodwork to want to contact me.
Why? I mean, not that you're not worthy of being
contacted.
That is
a valid question because I won't want to be contacted by them. But they want to contact me and they want to hang out. And
They
all ventured over to Scratch to hang out. And it's just weird, just because I've never seen these people in well over 10 years, 10, 15 years. And they just came to check me out as I was DJing. It was just very strange. And, like how in high school, you have all these different groups of people. Like you got, you got the dorks, right? And you got the band guys, and you got the jocks, and you got the douches. So they're all mixed in now.
Oh.
They're all hanging out together.
That's kind of weird.
And it's just, so I have to call them out and be like, okay, so like they're all sitting there. Like, they're all buds. And I'm like, so, when did this all happen? When did you guys all become friends?
Yeah.
Like, because you guys never hung out with each other back in the day. And like, oh, we still talk. I'm like, no, you don't. And I'm like, it was just weird. And I just kept tripping out. I'm like, this is, like, so weird. It's 2018, and we're, like, all hanging out. And we all went to high school. And because that, to me, just does not. I don't care. Like, I'm just not one of the local people who still hangs out with the same people from high school and still go eat and, talk story. I just ventured into my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for all of them to come back and they're all like combined, and we just had our 20th, last year, our 20th reunion, right? Yes, I'm old. I'm 40, damn it. So what do you think about this? Now you just got out of high school and you're currently in college. I mean, do you hang out with people?
Oh,
from high school?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
And that's no knock against them, but even when I was going to high school, I really didn't. And I'm not saying it is a bad thing. I really didn't fit in with them. Like, I went to Iolani when I was in ninth grade, and everyone was kind of well-established.
Yeah,
in their
sorry
groups.
To hear.
So,
sorry.
I mean, you know me. I'm pretty much cool with everyone, but I never really had my group. My group of friends were the ones from middle school. So I really don't talk to very many people in high school. But I did think it was very, very funny because, like, you know how everyone kind of acts during high school. Like, you don't really, it's just jokes and you say hi to people, what's up. And then it almost seemed like, immediately after graduation, like, at the graduation parties, people were doing, like, the kiss on the cheek thing. Like, we weren't just, like,
Right, like you're supposed to hang out.
I mean, I get that's the culture here, but that was just so weird. Like, you go from 1 week just, like, yelling at each other and saying what's up to, like, being, like, cordial and...
Not gonna happen.
Yeah, I was just like, what is
get
this?
Get out of here. There's no need for that. And but, like, all this fake stuff, you know?
At what point for you did it turn from, like... You know how... I'm pretty sure you've seen the comments on IG, like, either it's emojis or whatever, some kind of witty comment. When do you go from that to, like, oh, Karen, I hope you're doing well? Like, when does that transition happen?
That should be never, because you should not even be bothering with these people. What is the point? I mean, that's the point of the reunion. A class reunion is a horrible waste of time. You're going to go in there, you have two questions you're going to ask them. You're going to go in there, you're going to be, how are you? Mm-hmm. What do you do now? And that's it. Okay, bye.
There you go.
And then, is that really worth 3 hours? Hopefully not 3 hours, 2 hours, or an hour of your time? That's, no, not needed. And then what are you going to do? You're going to be like, okay, what have you been up to? And then probably you're going to be at some party and they're going to be playing music from your year, right? And then we're supposed to, what, reminisce on that? Like, we're going to go back in time? I mean, it's ridiculous.
So I take it you didn't go to your class reunion?
Hell to the no. I'm not going to go there. And I'm not going to go to the 30th or the 40th because it doesn't make sense.
You go to any?
No, that's not going to happen. Thus, that's why I scratch all of these guys come out of nowhere, and I'm like, you know what? I really never really talked to you, but I talked to you more. But then now you guys are hanging out. So what is? When did this happen? And that was my thing. Was like, I'm just tripping out, and they're all like shocked that I'm bringing this up. I'm like, I'm sorry. It's
elephant in the room.
Come on now. Yeah. It's like, you know, 97. Great. I mean, we remember that year at all, anyone? So what? it's baffling, and it kind of goes into like. Going back into time and like going to things of like how nostalgia is a thing and how people want to go back to things that they loved as a child and things that they grew up on and things like, because you pretty much your era is the era of maybe grade school, high school.
Yeah.
Where that's your time. That's what you know. That's what you grew up on. That's what you hold on to. Like, people are 80s kids or people are 90s kids. People are 2000s kids. And it's, if you grew up in the 80s, that's what you remember. And when you're in your 30s, you kind of hang on to some stuff, but that's, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like that kind of thing. Well, I don't want to go back to that.
Okay.
And I'm just, it's just another thing that with all this nostalgia stuff, I don't want to go back to 1997. Mm-hmm. I lived it. I went through it. I don't want to go back to high school. Some people say they want to go back. Like,
imagine thinking that that's your peak, like high school. That's kind of sad.
Well, it's a downward spiral from there. If you're going to say that, forget it. Because, as you know, everything changes.
Yes.
I'm chewing ice, everyone. Everything changes. You have 18, things change.
Yes.
21, all right? Mm-hmm. Things open up.
There you go.
25, you can rent a car.
Very 30, important.
Very important. I don't know why it's 25, but you can. 30, things change. 30, you need to figure out what you're doing with your life.
Yeah, because I feel like even by like 26, 27, people are kind of already looking at you like, okay, what's going on here?
Right. You're still living at home, right? You're getting many part-time jobs. Never that one full-time. So 30, you got to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Then between 30 and 35 is kind of like, that's the edge. That's living on the edge right there. That's the cusp of death. Okay? Because of Halloween, this is where we talk about death. Because if you can't figure out your career between 30 and 35, something's going to happen. Not good things.
Okay.
Meaning, you're going to be at home, you're going to be in your basement, if you had one. You're going to be in your basement eating Pringles, you're probably going to be masturbating, you're probably going to be doing all kind of things that's going to be not worthy of anything of worth. And that's what's going to happen. And then between 35 and 40, you might as well just figure it out of how you're going to just end your life. If you haven't figured out a career between 35 and 40, that's it.
I'm,
you know,
definitely taking mental notes about this. Make sure I follow the lifeline.
Well, to quote a man, you heard of KRS-One, right? Mm-hmm. KRS-One?
Of course.
He's known as the Blast Master, whatever that is. He said, suicide, but a bye-bye. Remember that?
Yes.
Probably not. Suicide, it's a suicide. That's what you're going to be doing between the age of 35 and 40 if you don't have a job. If you don't have a career, if you don't figure out what you want to do. I'm just saying. I told you, this is going to be different.
Yes.
This is going to be a different Halloween show. We're going to go and we're not going to go into ghosts and goblins and all these kind of things in the Blair Witch. We're going to be talking about real life situation.
Scary.
And how
even
it can
scarier.
Be scary.
Yes. Even
that's
scarier.
Even scarier is getting a job. All right. You want to talk about The Ring? You want to talk about Grudge? Let's talk about getting a job and getting a career. Okay. That's how we're going to do this. See, we're going to change things. See, It's like different, it. You know? I'm only going to drink two. So anything else happened before we get into the little topics of the week here, before we call it? Anything else? Because we have a lot of news items. Or do you have news items here?
I have some, and okay, now that you bring up drinking.
Well.
I hadn't heard about this, but I saw it flash up on the news.
Okay, let's go. What we got?
Of all the different challenges that we've had across the year since whatever 2000 year, there's a new one that hopefully doesn't gain much attention because it's stupid, as all of them are. A Listerine challenge.
And what do we do?
Originating in Denver, Colorado.
Well, they smoke weed, so might as well. They're high and they're just
drinking Listerine. I guess they're just drinking Listerine, but there's like 22 shots of Listerine in the whole bottle, but this equates to about 12 whiskey shots or the equivalent of 2+ bottles of wine.
Hey, all right.
So the news article I read said that they don't want to release the names, but they said that they have confirmed that the people that did this did it for attention, believe it or not.
Oh,
that is
surprising.
The currency of now's time.
Yes.
Is attention.
It's all about attention. Woe is me, attention, being depressed.
Yes.
Drink the Listerine. Really, that's the equivalent of that?
Yeah, that's what it said. Wow. Yeah, 22 shots of Listerine is 12 shots of whiskey and...
We should do some Fernet that's similar to Listerine, really. It's like a palate cleanser.
It's cheaper, too. You know what I mean?
Substantially cheaper,
yeah,
yes.
Maybe we've been doing this wrong. What are you drinking?
I'm not sure. We've got something here from
the
Lord.
That should be the original Listerine. Look at the brown coloring. Very close to it. Just go for that. And then your breath will be fresh.
This.
Like you
Thankfully,
won't have
yes,
to,
right.
No, you won't yeah, have to worry about, you know, getting stopped. You just have really fresh breath.
Like. It'll smell April fresh. That's great. What else we got? Before I got something here, I'm going to throw at you. But what other things? You have things on a card here.
I came prepared. No, dude.
I'm angry.
You're angry.
Well, I don't really get angry. But I just...
You have like a very steady level of...
It's a passionate volume.
There we go. Okay.
What else do you have here?
No, I didn't watch the game because I was working, but I heard about Clay breaking the record.
All right. Yes.
14.
It's pretty insane because they were up 92-50 at halftime.
I saw that. I was like, is this the real life? Like,
it's so stupid. So, yes, it's insane. He had 24.
But are we really surprised at this point by anything that the Warriors do? Like, it's such a super team. Like, I mean, of course, these are substantial, obviously, achievements. But it's like, with this super team, it kind of makes it lackluster, almost.
Yes, it's a big video game. It's ridiculous.
But, like, what's the point now?
He was slumping, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't really know.
This is just very much not the NBA that I remember growing up watching, where most teams were competitive.
What was the NBA when you grew up? What was that era?
That was when the Suns were good. Like, you had
Steve Nash.
Nash and Stoudemire and the one that poked Kobe in the eye, so I hate him, and I don't even remember what his name is.
Oh, but Kobe had to wear the goggles.
I don't remember his face.
Asshole. Poked him in the eye?
But yeah, I think it was when he was
Who
doing
was
like
this.
See, I don't. I totally banished his name from my mind.
Was he on the Suns?
Yes, he was on the Suns because when they play the Suns, and it was also the NBA I grew up watching was still when the Pistons were good. You had Rip Hamilton.
Well, Pistons were really boring to watch, though. They weren't must-see TV.
You know,
the ratings in the NBA back then were pretty bad.
But it was actually competition. Like now, it's like.
Right.
And maybe I'm just talking out of sorrow because my team has been like right there the past couple of games. We just can't pull it off. So maybe that's where this is
what
coming
are you
from.
Talking about? What do you mean your team's been, what, the Lakers?
Yes.
They've had losing, they haven't been in the playoffs in 2010. What are you talking about? They've been right there.
No, I mean like the great, not the playoffs, the games that we've only won one game.
Oh, you're talking about currently the season.
Yes.
Yeah,
they and that got, was against the Suns.
We talked about that a couple episodes in a row.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with the Lakers anymore. But yes, they got ways to figure out. Hey, my Rockets suck. Okay, so I'm gonna tell you right now. I can't say anything.
Yeah,
we're both teams in the toilet, so I got nothing to say about that.
Oh, and I see what you've got pulled up. So I've got one more.
Oh yeah, pull something out. Yes,
that will tie nicely into that. But I don't know if you've heard of. I don't know what social platforms you use, but it was kind of. I saw it on Twitter, and then my mom showed me on Facebook. I was like, yeah, I already saw that. You guys get stuff on Facebook like 2 weeks late. But anyways, there's this. Girl on a Dr. Phil show. Her name is Treasure or something. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Yes, this
the black girl thinks she's white. Or she doesn't want to be associated with the black people anymore.
Yes, she told her mother she's not going to be like these Negroes, is what she said. And she doesn't feel black. But I don't know if you know this, it's come to light that obviously that they're frauds. The mom was in on it, the brother was in on it, and they basically just made up the whole thing.
Oh, really?
So that they could get blown out. This. Yes.
Just so they could get a free plane ride?
Yes, the sister outed them.
Really?
Yeah, because I guess the mom has kids and like kind of just like kicks them out. So.
Wow, yeah. I did not know this. So this was is all fantastic.
It was all a big scam to draw attention. Of course, today's generation just ate it up.
Great. I mean, I just laughed at it. And I'm like, you know, she's saying that she's white. And I'm like, no, not your nose. And I'm like, whatever. And wow, this was a scam.
It was a scam.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Free plane ride. And then that's it. And then they're done. They're going to oblivion after that. Yeah. Wow.
But no, she said that she felt superior to black people.
Right.
And I see that there's a drink that's linked to white supremacy.
Oh, yes. We were going to talk about this last time. We forgot because we were just all caught up in pro wrestling. So, this was about a couple weeks ago. This was from the great people of PETA.
Okay.
Who announced that if you drink cow's milk, you are a supporter of white supremacy. Now, PETA, as you know, they're not all the oars are in the water for PETA. So
I love that analogy.
What do you think about that one? Does that change the way you eat cereal?
Definitely not.
Who drinks milk in 2018? Does someone
you
like
mean
say,
cow's milk? Because I feel like almond milk is very acceptable, or even soy milk, but nobody drinks cow milk.
You said all my milk. I thought of a joke, but I'm not going to do it. Who really sits down and says, okay, I'm going to have milk right now. I'm going to pour milk and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to just live my best life.
When you there's have cookies, no one. It's very easy to do that.
Okay, Santa, but I'm like, there's no one drinking milk, okay, unless it's Christmas Eve or something and you're some little kid who wants to cry and think you're going to get like a Nintendo.
How do you eat cereal?
You put the milk in there. So you eat milk with cereal.
Yes, so you drink milk.
So you're still going to put milk in the cereal even after this? There you go, white supremacy. You're going to be the kind.
Sorry, I'm not that easily influenced.
Yeah, all right, good. You're
I don't buy into all this shit.
You're a strong-minded woman. You swore twice thus far. That's great. Okay, so you're still down with the milk. You're still going to drink milk in the cereal.
Yeah, because I tried the almond milk with the cereal. It just doesn't taste
that's
the same.
That's too holly, really.
Exactly. No one's drinking almond milk. But no, I guess they're saying that milk is associated with, like, racial purity and because white people can tolerate milk.
Well, if it's not white, it's not right.
Well, there you go.
I tell you, you can put that with anything, right? I mean, but yeah. who's really drinking milk besides... When's the last time you ate cereal?
That's a great question.
Exactly. No one's eating cereal, really. No one over the age of, like, 20. No, I take that back. There's some hollies that are doing, like, the hippie guys that just want to eat cereal and be like, you know, smoke weed. No one over the age of maybe 30 is eating cereal. I don't think.
That's valid.
Unless they're unemployed.
Very true.
So, you wouldn't be eating cereal. I'm not eating cereal. Then what's left for milk? What's milk's value after that?
Ice cream.
You're going to put milk with the ice cream?
No.
What are you talking about?
Don't they make...
Oh, you're going to make ice cream now?
I could if I wanted to. But
okay,
I'm just saying...
Gordon Ramsay? What the hell? No one's making ice cream.
All right. Okay. Fine. There's no reason for milk.
Who's making... I'm telling you. See? This is the angry show. No one's making ice cream. No one has time to make ice cream. You scream. What was that commercial?
Ice cream, you scream, we all scream.
It just
for
came
ice
in my head. I'm
look
sorry.
At the scream. Scream ties in with
Scream,
this.
Yeah. Scream, this great movie. Great. Scream 1, great movie. After that, trash.
What's that?
No, that's not Scream.
I know.
Oh,
he was
God. No, that was a parody.
I know this.
Okay. Scary movie, which is trash. Dude, I didn't like Scary movie. But then the Wayans, overrated. Wayans overrated. When they kicked out the Wayans and then they got, I think it was they got the airplane guys.
Airplane guys.
The Zuckerberg.
Airplane Zuckerberg? Guys.
Yeah. Yes. Then it was decent.
Gotcha.
But no, you've seen Scream, right?
Yes.
Okay. Scream, great movie.
I agree.
Story about Scream. Quick one. I went with my girlfriend at the time,
mm-hmm.
and she wanted to see Scream, and we went to the theater to see this, and I know nothing about it.
Okay.
I was just like, okay, let's just go to see this movie. I knew, I didn't see one trailer, nothing about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she took me to this.
Okay.
And then the opening scene with Drew Barrymore,
mm-hmm.
and then the guys talking to her about the scary movies, and I was like, wow, this is like something different, right? And like, and then it was a packed house. This was in Kahala, ironically. And packed house, watching Scream, watching this Drew Barrymore scene, and then he's talking to her, and you know how it goes.
Yes.
And then when you see the reveal of his mask, that was just like insane to me. Like, everybody jumped, and I'm like, wow, what are we getting ourselves into? And I have to say, that freaked me out.
Really?
After the movie.
Who was not afraid by Grudge or The Ring or anything, that was what freaked you out.
Yeah, The Ring is overrated. But the thing with the mask and then the guy, it like, it didn't get me scared, but it made me like very like, I'm doing like that. Like, I'm opening the elevator,
like,
I'm
how?
Just ready to go. I'm just like, ready.
You coming? I wish you guys,
let's go.
The listeners could see the movements he's doing.
I'm prowling. I'm like, you know, I'm not cowering, I'm prowling. And I'm just waiting for somebody to come out. I'm like ready to take him out. It was just like, wow, this is great. Because I've never seen a jumpy movie like that before.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that really kind of started the whole jumpy thing. It was mm-hmm. it was teenagers and like hip stuff and then the jumpy stuff. Mm-hmm. There never really was a movie with a lot of jumpy things,
yes.
until then.
Mm-hmm.
I that really hit hard. So that was, yeah, phenomenal movie. And then the rest was trash. But you need to watch the rest of Scream 2 or 3, whatever it is. Nobody cares about David Arquette. But, okay. what else do you have? Do you have anything else?
Ooh, that's a little creepy.
You see that phone? You see? So get me a chance to, if it rings again, to do this.
Oh.
Oh. Answer the phone. You ever watch Kids in the Hall? Probably not.
No. What is...
Kids in the Hall was a comedy sketch show that mm-hmm. was a spinoff, kind of Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
The creator of Saturday Night Live found these guys in Canada. Very funny guys. Half-hour show. Their thing would be they dressed in drag, but that was not the joke. So they would always dress as women, mm-hmm. but that was not part of it. It was just to play the character.
Okay.
And ahead of its time, humor. And there was this one thing where the phone would ring, and the guy would not answer the phone, and like it's a haunting, like that.
Wow, that's kind of like.
Thank you.
Gets me on my.
And it was like it rings, and then on the other side of the phone are these two crazy. Sisters from the insane asylum named Jerry Sizzla and my other sister Jerry Sizzla. Answer the phone, I want to talk to you. We don't know what they're going to talk about, but they're on their side, and that's the joke. It's like very dry, sarcastic humor. No one cares.
Ahead of its time,
so yeah, that's it. So let's, on that note, let's take a break, shall we? Answer the phone. When Kavit was doing this, Kavit's phone would always ring for all the damn time, and I don't know why. Answer the phone. I would always do that, and that was just a thing. Shout out, Kevin, the catalyst, whatever.
Answer the phone.
He always, yeah. He had all these weird telemarketers would call. He had a landline.
Oh, like that's so, why they...
Like, right, it's like so 2002. So it's whatever. And the phone is done. So that means we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We forgot to mention our special guest coming later, Lopaka Kapanui, the Mysteries of Hawaii tour former professional wrestler. I'm going to just put that out there. We may bring that up. We may not later. I don't know. But he used to be a former professional wrestler. He does the ghost tours.
Which I'm very excited to hear.
He's going
to
freak you out probably. And then you're going to not know what to do with yourself for the rest of the night. But we'll take a break and we will come back. We're going to have also the sommelier is coming. We're going to do a Rushmore. He's coming up. That's coming up next. Let's take a break. Sleep time's over. Let's pull up some. Do I have a scary thing? Let's see. Let's see if I can pull up a scary.
Do you like a... Hitchcock kind of sound.
No, you're asking for too much. Let's do this.
That's scary. Because
you know, you could get arrested.
Yeah, that's very scary.
You could get arrested. Misdemeanor.
This is real life.
This is real life.
Horror. Real life horror. Yes.
That could happen to you right there. That's right.
Real life stuff.
Yeah. Sleep time's over. We'll be right back.
Or not, I was just like you when I was a kid. Until my dad set me straight, that is. See, my dad taught me tonight is about respecting the dead. Because this is the one night that the dead and all sorts of other things roam free and pay us a visit. Sorry. All these traditions, jack-o'-lanterns, putting on costumes, handing out treats, they were started to protect us, but nowadays, no one really cares. Oh, I didn't do such a good job, did I? What do you think?
Hey. Okay. Need a root beer?
Wait. That's right. There's another tradition. Very important.
Always check your candy.
Sleep Time's Over is back with another banger.
We haven't done a Mount Rushmore in a while. As we have the Lord, he's making a drink, I think drink number 7 for me, I'm not sure. I'm here with the sommelier to the stars, our movie expert guy, our hip-hop guy too. I mean, let's cut to the chase.
You like J. Rue the Damager?
I have a love-hate relationship with him. So yes, J. Rue the Damager is the continuing theme as we are back. But we're going to do something different, though. We're going to have a Rushmore of the Halloween movies, I guess. The Mount Rushmore of movies that took place on Halloween. Is this correct?
I believe we decided on Halloween theme movies or movies that took place specifically on Halloween night or, you know, in and around that holiday.
Oh, that just sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it?
Right? Well, that's okay. What I specifically asked you.
And yeah,
you
said, that's right.
I needed to be
that's
sure.
That's what I said, yes. And that is what I said to you.
And, yeah.
So you came up with the list. So I'm going to let you go off on this list because it's most likely it might be the same. It might not. But it might be the same stuff that we're both going to say. So I figured I'll just have you throw out your list.
Right.
I'll chime in with things. Halloween, might as well go with Halloween movies based on Halloween.
Right.
So.
And so how I picked the list was, you know, picking maybe two legitimately scary movies and then two movies that I grew up with that were kind of fun.
Right.
You know, a lot of nostalgia, your favorite thing.
That's always a great thing.
Right.
Let's always go back to the past, yeah? Let's not even look forward.
Right.
But there's a lot of movies that came out on Halloween that weren't necessarily horror movies, right? They just
exactly.
happened to be. Right. So
right.
there's a lot
I mean,
of stuff.
You talk about, I mean, the famous horrors, the famous Halloween scenes from the time when we grew up, you know, E.T. could be considered a Halloween movie
right.
because, you know, a significant chunk of E.T. takes place on Halloween.
Right.
And The Karate Kid, one of the most significant scenes.
That is correct, yes.
In Karate Kid is on Halloween.
Yeah, that's a good pull there, yeah. That's where he gets in trouble.
Exactly.
That's where Miyagi takes care of it. The Lord is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, the Lord.
Yes. We're drinking live at the Highbrow Room. Here we are.
And I think I'll start it off with a movie that is, it's relevant now because they just came out with a remake and it's the 1978 John Carpenter classic Halloween.
Well, I mean,
it's an obvious one.
Very obvious. Jamie Lee Curtis, her first role.
First role, yeah.
Yeah.
It was her first role.
Does Halloween still hold up in 2018?
So
have you watched it?
I saw the 2018. I own the 1978 version, and when I decided to watch the 2018 sequel, I guess it's kind of a reboot sequel because they're retconning all of the Halloween sequels.
Right. So none of them matters
right.
in this one.
So okay. in this one, it's basically the 1978. And then the 2018.
Got
they
it.
Are the ones that are in canon. Everything else doesn't
Got
exist.
It. Okay.
So I rewatched the 1978 the day before I watched the new one.
Right.
And I think it holds up pretty good.
Okay. So the new one now kind of seamlessly goes through from the first one.
Yeah, for the most part,
okay.
it's more of an homage or a kind of a tribute to the style that John Carpenter.
Right.
Came up with. You got to look at that movie from the point of like 1978. It was groundbreaking because it was pretty terrifying. And the things that John Carpenter was doing with his camera work, the music, the score that he actually made.
Music's phenomenal. Yeah.
It's a really cool movie. And he took elements of Hitchcock and all these other directors and really made a cool slice, no pun intended, in that horror genre, the slasher genre, and
right.
really like built the model.
Right.
Right?
Plus you get the naked girl in the beginning.
Hey.
Well, it was good. Wasn't to see too that.
Bad, man.
Not bad. It was a looker.
But yeah, I would say the 78 holds up pretty well. It's okay. Kind of like, does Jaws hold up?
Right.
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 We
right,
see
right.
that shark. I mean.
Right. Well, you don't see the shark to the end, but the buildup is there.
Right.
The buildup is always going to be there.
Exactly. Thing. And Halloween isn't necessarily scary.
No.
But it's more atmospheric. Like, yeah. You're watching it more for the tone and the style of it. And Michael Myers, I mean, he's a pretty basic guy.
Yeah.
And I think what the problem with the older Halloween movies was they built too much backstory around him.
Right.
Of, you know, just too much. Where John Carpenter said, hey, the most simplest thing in the world is we don't know why this guy is evil.
Right.
And that's what makes him scary.
Exactly.
We don't necessarily know what's making him tick and what's making him lose.
Exactly,
so.
Right.
And I think that's why Halloween was was so effective. How old were you when you seen this?
Gosh, that was because I didn't see it when it came out, mm-hmm. obviously. This was probably mid to late 80s that I saw this on like HBO.
Right. So you're a couple years younger than me. So I'm born 76. I probably seen the movie in the early 80s. It scarred me. It freaked me out.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing bits and pieces of it, and I just remember that music. The music was very haunting.
Yeah.
The music has got to be one of the top, if not the best. Mm-hmm. Horror music of all time.
For modern horror movies, probably one of the best instrumental scores.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
but I always have to go back to, and I mentioned this last year, is that music was used as the theme music for the Samoan SWAT team. And I still, to this day, if I had to pick, I think of the Samoan SWAT team. Samu and Fatu came out to that. That's and great. That was just the perfect thing for these two crazy Samoan guys. This is pro wrestling, everyone. And it was, they came out to the Halloween theme, which made really no sense, but it made sense for just to make them like these badasses. And I always go back to that.
I'd be terrified if Samoans were
came out
at
to
me
the Halloween theme. I mean, come on. So that's always the thing I always go back to. So it's scary, but yet it's like kind of it's badass at the same time.
So that's my number one. It's groundbreaking. And John Carpenter does the score for the new one. Just updates it.
Okay.
For the new film. So he does the
remix.
Score.
Okay.
So yeah, he greenlit it. I recommend seeing the new movie. I don't think it's a classic by any means, but I think the new movie...
It's entertaining.
It's entertaining for fans of the first
okay.
one.
Okay. Very good. Okay, what else we got?
Number two on the list. I'm going to go something modern. And, you know, you're a fan of anthology movies of the 80s.
Yeah.
We grew up with anthology movies.
Right.
Creepshow.
Yeah.
Tales from the Dark Side.
Yes.
You know, we grew up with a lot of these tales of terror.
That's right.
You know, things like that. So there was a little film that didn't get a lot of attention in the early 2000s, but now has become, or in the late 2000s, but now it's become kind of a cult film. It's called Trick or Treat.
Oh, yes. There you go.
Director Michael Dougherty.
Yeah.
And
excellent.
I think that's a very underrated, slept on.
Yeah. Totally agree.
And very innovative in the way they're interweaving the stories.
Yes.
It's all happening in one town on one night.
Yes.
And I don't want to spoil anything. So if you guys, it's probably a movie that most of the listeners probably haven't seen, but I highly recommend checking it out.
Oh, that's a must see.
Yeah. If you love the style of Creepshow and those anthology series, Trick or Treat is definitely something that I try to watch every October,
right.
You know, Halloween.
They kind of did it better because Creepshow is kind of like a little story and then done.
Right.
Little story, done. They don't intertwine.
This one's really done creatively.
So clever.
And then the stories are all different tones and kind of different styles.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really creative. It's really good. And they just announced a couple months ago, because of its cult following, because it's selling so many copies on Blu-ray and on demand, they're making a sequel.
Wow.
And same director.
Okay.
And he's doing big things. The guy went on from Trick or Treat. He's making the new Godzilla movie, King of Monsters.
Another Godzilla movie, really?
Another Godzilla movie.
No need. No need. No need. But Trick or Treat, I tell you, that as far as just a clever... I'm going to have to go out and say 5 mics.
Yeah, it's a really
it's
good
clever,
one.
It's clever, it's fun, it's entertaining. Everybody, if you haven't, for real. Yeah.
Yeah, check that one out.
Great pick.
Yeah,
great
check pick. That one out. So that was two that I felt like, one was scary back in the day, one I feel like it's mildly scary but very entertaining and in the horror genre.
Yeah, two great
the
picks.
The next two movies in my, you know, Halloween I don't know. I'm old. I'm too old and grumpy, kind of like you. So I don't celebrate Halloween. I don't dress up in costumes.
Never mind.
The kids come around. I turn the lights off.
No need.
I don't give candy.
No need to put the razor blade in the Snickers.
But I remember a time in my childhood when, you know, we really loved Halloween. You know, you get all the friends over, you know, watch movies and stuff. And so one of our favorite movies growing up that has a semi-Halloween theme and a chunk of it takes place in the time of Halloween is The Monster Squad.
Wow. That might get, get one of those. Yeah. Monster Squad, very, very strange, underrated. If you were there in the 80s, you knew it.
Oh, yeah. And it, and it was birthed from the studios wanting to build off of the popularity of Goonies and all these movies with kids.
Right.
So they knew they wanted to do Goonies, and they knew they wanted to take the universal monsters, which was Dracula, Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Frankenstein, this, that, and put them in a movie. Right. And who did they get to write it? They got the writer for Lethal Weapon, Shane Black.
Well, as only you should.
To write it.
Exactly. Wow,
really? Yes. And his writing partner, Fred Decker, who co-wrote it and directed it. This movie's all over the place.
Yes, it is.
I saw it in the theater at Cujillo Theater.
Wow.
Cujillo Theater.
There you go, Cujillo.
Yep.
Shout out Cujillo Theater.
Shout out. My mom took me and friends from elementary school, or I think we might have been, we were in elementary school, came on 87 around that time. And we didn't know what to make of this movie, because it was like, it had these kid tones, but brutal violence, gore, people getting murdered, necks getting broken. It is the weirdest tone film. It got a PG-13 rating.
Oof.
They wanted it to be PG.
Good luck.
But they didn't know what to make of it. Yeah. And if you guys ever, if you're growing up in the 80s, you know this movie. If you didn't, I highly recommend it as a party film. Get drunk.
It's a party
watch
film.
That movie. It's so much fun.
Yeah, you can't watch it by yourself. It's just boring. It's just very slow. As a party film, yes.
Yeah.
Because everybody can comment.
Right.
Kick them in the nards.
That's right.
You know, the werewolf. Does Wolfman have nards? That was always the thing we always say as a kid.
And in the middle of the movie, just like every 80s film, you remember they got to gather all the weapons. They have a 80s music montage.
Yes, you need to have that mandatory in the 80s to music montage. Yes.
They got Ryan Lambert. He's sharpening a stake in shop class.
That's right.
Nobody questioning him.
Gosh.
He's building pipe bombs. Nobody.
Right. No one says nothing.
Pre-9/11, guys.
And then we got we had to get the version. Is she a version? And let's get the little girl.
Right.
Really?
That's right.
That's so not going to happen
in
2018.
She goes, and she goes, he didn't count.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow. I mean, I don't know if that movie would be only perfect for the 80s. Like, if they were to reboot that, like they're rebooting everything, it would not work. Because kids in 2018 would not care about the Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon. It would have to be updated monsters. It would have to be like the Girl from the Ring.
Well, we already know what happened with Tom Cruise, and they try to remake this whole dark universe with the Mummy.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, this is going to be a whole new series.
No
one
cares.
We're going to have, you know, Dracula and Creature from the Black Lagoon, and we're going to update it to modern times, and we're going to tie them all into one universe. Oh, that was a failure.
Shut it down. No.
That was dead before it even got off the ground.
Yeah. Right. So I think it came out at the perfect time, and that's it. And it's going to be embedded in the 80s. And it's either you knew it or you don't, and you're either going to get it or you're not.
Yeah, watch it. It's a time capsule. It's by no means a good movie, but it's super fun. And it's crazy that movie was made.
Right.
And it was made for kids.
Right. That was the main thing.
Yeah. I still watch it, and I'm shocked.
They got away with a lot of stuff in the 80s.
Sure did.
PC was not the thing.
They sure did.
Great
and
pick
then,
again.
Okay. For my last pick, this is going to be probably the most obscure.
Here we go.
And this is going to be the most one that people are probably going to be scratching their heads.
Here we go.
Where did this movie come from? But it was a movie that I had taped off TV, off ABC, on Betamax back in 85.
Wow.
And we watched it every Halloween for years. Obviously, until the Betamax broke, and then this tape was dead.
It didn't last.
But you can actually watch this movie in its entirety, commercial free, on YouTube for free.
Oh, yeah?
And it's called The Midnight Hour.
The Midnight Hour.
It stars LeVar Burton.
I like it already.
Sherry Belafonte.
Wow.
Peter DeLuise.
Wow.
Dick Van Patten.
This is great.
Okay. All-star cast. This is probably one of the weirdest made-for-TV, and again, like the Monster Squad, made in the 80s, family films, but has murdering, brutal violence, but also they're intermixing like goofy comedy that's like, you know, just you don't know what this film's trying to do. It's really? Just so bizarre. I think you need to check it out. But the story,
I've never seen this.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You
this is fantastic.
It. So it's of course like LeVar Burton, Peter, you know, Peter DeLuise, Dom DeLuise's son, right? Yeah. 21 Jump Street. 21
Jump Street, yes.
So they're all in high school. They all look 35 years old in high school, right? Classic 80s
right.
trope, right? Like everybody's in high school.
Everyone's in high school.
Right? They all look way too old.
Yeah.
A lot of denim.
Bad casting.
Right? Sherry Belafonte's, Sherry Belafonte is LeVar Burton's girlfriend.
Of course she is.
She, you know, they go to class.
Was she like 50 in this movie?
Yeah. Her great, 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 great aunt was like a witch in the town. And they're talking about the history of the town in class for Halloween. And there's this like ancient, like not ancient, but there's like this old wardrobe of like the witch that Sherry Belafonte wants to wear for Halloween. So they break into the museum and steal the costume for Halloween.
Wow.
And then they go to the graveyard. Of course, like we're all good kids. They go hang out the graveyard.
You got it.
And then they find like the scroll in there with like the inscriptions. They read the inscriptions. It like wakes the dead witch up. It wakes all the zombies up. All
right.
And then zombies are going around town.
Right.
But not all the zombies are evil. Some zombies are like...
Oh, they're good zombies.
Murdering people. The others are just, they're going to parties and dancing.
Oh,
and
drinking.
There's like a
smoking.
Whole, yeah, he's reading. Wow. There's a zombie reading the newspaper. All he wants to do is read the newspaper.
Well, he's informed. This is fantastic. I've never even heard of this.
This is one of the
I'm watching
most
this
bizarre.
Like tonight, probably.
And then, for some strange reason, there's a werewolf running around town, turning people into werewolves.
Oh, well, you need to.
The witch who comes out happens to be a vampire as well. Which that's never explained.
That's a swerve. This is fantastic.
Every year I'd watch it as I got older, I'd have more questions about why this film exists.
Wow.
But I gotta say, it was made, it's real, it's bizarre, it's called The Midnight Hour.
I love it.
And then the weirdest soundtrack ever, they actually had the money to license out the Wilson Pickett in the Midnight Hour song.
Really?
Yep. And the DJ on the radio the whole time is Wolfman Jack. Remember Wolfman
Jack?
Oh,
yeah, wow.
He's the DJ
this
during the whole
movie. Fantastic.
Movies. And in the party scene, it's the Smiths playing.
What?
Yeah. How Soon Is Now, the song, is playing at the party. It's the weirdest.
This is great. Movie. I don't know if anybody's going to know these references, but this is fantastic.
Yeah. So
I can't believe this.
Highly
movie.
Recommend it. It's bizarre. It's weird. It's a great party movie. Just get some drinks, get some friends. It'd be a movie that I would want us to watch on a crappy movie night.
Wow, I think this might be the one because this is, from the description alone, sounds like a 5-mile movie.
Yeah, it's
unreal.
It's terrible.
Wow.
So what? I got to be curious. So I named my four. What would be on your Halloween themed movie list?
Strangely, Halloween's on there.
All right.
Trick or Treat's on there. I also had Night of the Demons on there.
Night of the Demons almost made my list.
Okay.
That's a great party movie.
Very underrated party movie.
Yeah.
Right. And then I had House of a Thousand Corpses. Because it did happen on...
I had that
so I don't know if you have... Oh, you have that.
I
okay.
I had that on my... On
oh,
my,
look at this. Okay.
I had it on my runner-up list.
Because as a lot of people like found House of a Thousand Corpses like all over the place, I just thought that because it was all over the place was the fun of it. Because clearly it's Rob Zombie's notes.
Right.
And he just took all of his notes, and he's like, I'm just going to put that in there, this in there, that in there, just to make a whole big mashup of all of his notes. Because none of it made sense. That movie made no sense at all. It was total ridiculousness. You have one thing, you have this thing.
The interstitial cuts are all strange.
Yeah, the cuts are weird.
You're like, what is happening?
We're going to go pay an homage to the 70 horror movies. Right. Then we're going to have the slasher movies. Then we're going to have the zombie movies. Then we're going to go cover this music. I mean, it was just all over the big cluster. But I just thought it was just for like, ish and giggles.
He was like a DJ, DJing like horror movies.
He's doing,
mashups. Doing a mix.
It's all mashups. It's all the Danger Mouse all over again. Danger Mouse and Jay-Z album. It was just a total mashup of stuff, and I thought it was just hilarious. And totally, Devil's Rejects is a totally different vibe, but House of a Thousand Corpses. took place on Halloween.
It's definitely on there. And then just for another obscure one, just to bring up, do you remember a movie from 1986 also called Trick or Treat? It had Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper,
rocker, who gets possessed by the devil.
Yep.
Oh, man. That's a really fun one, too.
Ridiculous comedy movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of comedy movies. But there was also movies that like didn't take place. Well, they weren't horror movies per se, but they took place on Halloween, like E.T.
Yeah.
Like we talked about. Yeah. Like what is another one, like other movies that weren't necessarily.
The Karate Kid had a significant.
Right.
Everyone remembers that skeleton costume. And you see it still at parties now.
Right. People and he was a sink.
Karate Kid. And in the shower. Yeah, he was
Danielson
the shower.
Danielson was a sink.
Right.
You know, Miyagi gracefully made a costume for him. And was it a bad move, Daniel, to do the whole sink and put the holes in them while they're smoking weed? I didn't really agree with that. Like, just let it be, Daniel. But you decided to be the prick. And I kind of said, like, you deserve what you got. You deserve what you got, Daniel. Why? Just leave good enough alone. Leave good enough alone. Granted, we get to see Miyagi, you know, kick their ass. But do we really applaud Daniel for putting the hose above on the restroom? Was that a smart move?
He kind of asked for getting his.
Exactly. So I have no sympathy for Daniel for doing that, because why do that? Just let it be. You were the shower. No one could see you. You had Elizabeth Shue in the shower with you making out. Right. Why do you need to go to the restroom and go bother Johnny while he's smoking weed?
So if he didn't, imagine this: if he didn't put the thing, he decides just like, oh, I'm gonna just enjoy this dance. Then credits roll, and then
move. And that's it. And then we're done. And then we move on. And then maybe there's a Karate Kid too. Most likely not. It wouldn't be a Karate Kid too. We wouldn't get to see Sato. We wouldn't get to see Chosen. But okay. So granted, that was Halloween.
You just call him the Italian kid.
And that's it. And we're done. And then he moves on to My Cousin Vinny. And then we're good. Move on. Make the money. Any other notables? Any other...
There's another movie that I want to recommend to people. And not necessarily taking place... You know, it takes place in and around Halloween, but it's also a reference to the John Carpenter style of filmmaking. It's a movie called The Guest. Have you heard of this movie? The Guest?
No.
Came out maybe a couple years ago. It's about a family who, this mysterious stranger shows up at their home, claims that he was in the war with their son. Their son was killed in the war in the Middle East, and this mysterious guy comes and basically claims that he was with the son, he was friends with him, he was in the war with him, and you know he was his best friend, and he wanted to meet his family, and they kind of invite him in, and it's kind of this invite the stranger in, and then kind of like he stays with them, and it kind of unravels in this kind of like thriller horror kind of. You ever heard of this film?
No, this is a...
So this is a this cool is one.
A few,
so
it, few years ago? When did this come out? A
couple years, I would say. I would say 2016, if I had to guess. But this is definitely one. It's more of a horror thriller.
Okay.
I don't want to give it too much away, because I think with talking about the plot, it kind of gives away a lot of some of the surprises.
Right.
But it's definitely in the vein of... it's like a crisscross of almost like, what if the Captain America experiment in Marvel movies went completely the other way? What if it went totally wrong?
Oh, really? So he became a bad guy. He became this killer.
I don't want to say anything more than that, but just kind of like take that premise of super soldiers. What if they took a super soldier and what happened? What would happen if it went completely left?
Chopping heads. All right.
So that one's like a cool, underrated horror thriller. It has a soundtrack that's very similar to John Carpenter movies. You can see it's definitely evoking that style.
Okay.
And it all culminates at a Halloween dance. Party.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I highly recommend that one called The Guest. So
shout out John Carpenter, man. You know, like, he puts out good soundtracks, too. Like, it's great music, Halloween theme, Big Trouble in Little China theme, which he sang.
He's touring right now for his band, with his band right now. That's what he's doing.
He needs to come to Blaisdell Concert Hall, because we got to go see that. But shout out to him, man, because he not only is a great director with all this, but... He does the music.
He did The Thing.
Amazing.
He did Big Trouble in Little China.
Amazing. Yep. Amazing. Yeah. And this was just a couple years ago, this movie. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so check that one out. It's not like obviously made by John Carpenter, but you can definitely see how many filmmakers of the new generation he's influenced.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And how about you? Did anything not almost make your list that
Well, that there was didn't? There was a Exorcist, because yeah. there is a, yeah, it takes place take in Halloween. Place,
yeah.
Poltergeist. I mean, it doesn't take I mean, it Halloween is part of it, where it's around that time and right. it takes place.
Right.
I mean, I got to shout out those movies. I mean, Exorcist is still awesome. And it see, the thing with Exorcist is a thing is where a lot of people are all freaked out by it, but I have to say, honestly, when I watched it, I kind of was laughing. Because I just thought, like, this is, like, so over the top. And, like, you know, vomit and whatnot. And she's, like, you know, in the spider move and going right. downstairs and all that. It just seemed more entertaining to me than, like, oh, God, am I going to sleep? It wasn't like that. Like, honestly, I could say Blair Witch made me not want to sleep over The Exorcist. Strangely.
Right. But it's certain films that just tap into whatever our own primary
Correct. Primary exactly. fears are. Exactly. Like, I could see you being lost in the forest, not figuring your way out. And I mentioned this last time, where it has nothing to do with a witch. But if you could be legitimately lost in the forest, not knowing where you're going, and where are you going to go, and how are you going to get out of there? And you could die, and no one's going to know. That's what the fear of that movie is.
We just found out your primal fear. DJ Zach Morris' primal fear is to be lost.
I'm not good in the forest, which is why I don't go past Kalihi. Well, you see, that's why townie for life, bro. So therefore, it's not gonna happen.
But well, that, that's my legitimate. I have a fear, and you hate these films, but I have a fear of Japanese obake. And so I couldn't sleep after I saw The Ring. I couldn't sleep right. after I saw The Grudge.
Oh, yeah.
And we joked about this, and we said, DJ Zach Morris is not afraid of no Japanese girls with long black hair. That's like all his ex-girlfriends.
That's all the girls that date, bro. You go Kalani, you go Kaimaki High School, you go Roosevelt. They're all over there. It don't matter to me. But all I'm saying is this, okay? The Ring, I'll break down The Ring to you, okay? Ring, I fell asleep throughout because it was a very slow movie. And then the culmination of The Ring is where she takes the girl out of the well, and then she goes to her son. Everything's going to be okay now. And then the son goes, no, why did you do that? You shouldn't have done that. I'm like, all right. And then we have this guy who doesn't know how to walk, who just sees someone come out of the TV. And naturally, if you see something come out of the TV, maybe you should maybe run. No, he decides to cower in the wall and just do this and not move and just do this kind of BS. Good for you, brah. You deserve to die. Why are you just going to do that? You should be running your ass out of here.
That's why no black people were in The Ring.
You're damn right. There's no black
They'd
people in the
out
ring.
Of here.
They'd be out of here in the first 10 minutes. It's a total rubbish. That guy should have gone. He should have ran out. Why did he not run out? He just decides to cower and just do like this. He puts his hands up by his chin and this kind of thing. He deserves to die. Get him out of here. That's why I just didn't understand. What was the point of The Ring? Why was this supposed to be so scary? This where the culmination of she comes out of the TV. Okay, that's freaky, I get it. But if you see a girl come out of the TV, you should run. You're gonna go cower. You deserve to die, bro. Whoever you are. Who was that? Was he some notable actor? Dylan McDermott. Who was that guy? And then The Grudge. I mean, come on, okay. The house is weird. The house is creepy.
Well, the
okay.
house had a mass murder in it, right?
Correct.
So it was the ghost of the mass
Correct.
Of the murder.
Right.
And like but there was already a dark spirit there to begin with, right? But it just fed right. off of, the evil fed off of
Exactly.
Right?
And what do the African-Americans do when they see that? We get the hell out of there. We don't need to go hang out there. Sarah Michelle Gellar, let me explore and figure this out. Shut up. Get out of there. The premise is ridiculous because we know you need to get out of there. But Sarah Michelle Gellar said, I'm going to figure this out. I want to be that detective. I want to be freaking, what's her name? Dora Explorer?
I don't think you like The Grudge because I think you're holding enough grudges.
Correct. You know, we got enough grudges going around town. This is what this is going to be, the angry Halloween episode. We have a lot of things going on. We have a lot of things we need to discuss. We have a lot of grudges. We have things that we need to figure out with our lives. We don't have time to go to some haunted house, figure out some girl that's going to be some little boy that's going to make like weird faces and a pale skin. I got enough of that. I don't go to the beach. I'm already pale. What else we got? We got The Ring. We got The Grudge. What else we... What are these obake movies? What else we got? Throw another one up.
For...
like the top obake movies.
Well, I mean, I guess those would kind of be at those are the most like iconic. Those are probably the most iconic ones, right?
Well, I mean, I'll watch Battle Royale before I watch that.
Battle Royale
is a good movie, man. That's that Battle Royale. Like, it's a 4.5 Mike movie.
Great movie. Yeah.
Itchy the Killer. I watched that.
Itchy the Killer got some stuff going on.
I mean, I'm sure there's like I'll watch Train to Busan. I'll watch the Koreans over.
Yeah, that's a good
The
one.
Grudge.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so in closing,
well, you don't like The Conjuring and ghost films like
that? I never seen that. Oh, okay, I'll say I never seen that.
I would say The Conjuring, Insidious, I think these are.
You're a fan.
I'm a fan. Yeah, okay. I'm a fan. So I'm as big of a horror fan as you are, but I think we like different styles of horror, right? You know, or, you know.
I guess so, but
you're the biggest Saw fan I've ever met.
For some reason, from Saw 1, 2, 3, 3 was kind of the climax. Saw 3 was the Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Of the Saw, and then they kept it way too long, but it has its
place.
But
you've seen every single iteration of the Saw, and you could rate them all, and you knew them all, so I was pretty impressed.
You know, after Saw 6, I'm just like, why am I holding on to this? But they tried to keep it going, and I just thought of another Halloween movie. I'm going to throw this out at you.
Here we go.
Before we go. House 2.
Oh, the second story.
Yes. What? Pardon the pun.
Wow.
House 2, the second story.
Right.
Now, that was a very... Now, probably negative 69 people know this movie, but there was the first movie, House,
right,
which was a very different tone,
right,
very serious. And then they went the total opposite way, make this like a comedic thing. With John Ratzenberger for the win. He was in this movie, and you had all kind of things going on. You had every little bit of... it was kind of like House of a Thousand Corpses. You have all kind of stuff thrown at you. Right. Trolls, witches, the monsters, everybody coming up. Yeah. Comedy... And it was a Halloween movie.
Like I said, like most films and most sequels in the 80s, it was written, produced, and directed by cocaine.
Exactly. So to sum up what we've learned in this segment, cocaine does a lot for movies. Go figure, huh? So yeah. Any final words before we wrap this one up?
Stay safe, everybody. Check your candy.
Make sure there's no razor blades.
Yeah, make sure there's nothing in there, and girls, stay safe on Halloween.
Don't get too lit.
Don't drink any random drinks some guy in a random like superhero costume gives you.
Yeah, see Green Lantern come at you with some whatever the hell he's gonna give you, some mezcal. Don't do it.
Green Lantern with the mezcal.
It could happen.
Wouldn't you have like a Midori drink?
That's true. That'll be at Bar 35.
Right.
But yeah, be careful, everybody. Just don't get too lit. Nobody die. Okay, sleep time's over.
All right, we'll be back. Happy Halloween.
Yes, thank you, Sky.
Don't you go anywhere. Sleep time's over. We'll be right back.
And welcome back. And for the main event that we've been building to on this angry / scary episode of the third annual Halloween show, we have Mr. Lopaka Kapanui, who is here. Mysteries of Hawaii.
Yeah.
And you do the ghost tour. You just came from a tour just now.
Just came from a haunted tour of Fourth Street Mall.
Oh, okay.
Wow. That's my campus, so glad I didn't see that.
Oh, that's right. What's the duration of these tours? Let's get into what you do.
Like, the walking tours are like about an hour and a half, and the bus tours are about 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
Wow, okay.
And then the private customized tours are as long or as short as the people want.
Oh, okay.
Now, when you say customized, what do you mean? Like, they get to choose the places? Or
yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and sometimes it's to their own detriment, but...
Wow. So do you have certain times where like you would want to have them meet late? Just so they can get the vibe of like midnight, or do you set a certain time for these tours?
Just last week, Wednesday, we had a midnight tour up at the Nut Ridge Estate, right at the bottom of Tantalus Park.
Oh. Okay.
It's an old macadamia nut plantation.
Oh.
You know, and it's been revived by David Millwood. And so, you know, we kind of formed a friendship, and he allowed us to do something up there at midnight.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Pretty intense.
Wow. So what's the latest you've taken your tour on? If it's like starting at midnight, like do you guys end up like 2 in the morning?
2 in the morning,
And you guys go clubbing after? What do you guys do? We drink up.
Normally, people who are a little bit freaked out tend to follow me because after certain types of tours, I go to the ocean and cleanse.
So sometimes
I'm like, you know, defrocking and there's people behind like, what are you guys doing here?
Oh, jeez.
Can we come cleanse with you?
So let's get down to what got you started from the beginning? What got you into this? I know you, the protege of Mr. Glenn Grant, rest in peace.
So if you want to be, not technical, if you want to get to the source of it, 1983 and 84, I was living in Orlando, Florida, having the time of my life. I had rock fever, so I had to get away from the islands, and my mom called me, and she said, your brothers don't want to learn what I have to teach, you know, your auntie and I, so would you mind coming home? I said, Mom, I'm having fun, you know, right. Daytona Beach, Pensacola. And she said, okay, yeah, no worries. But the way she said it was, you know, what she was really saying is like, don't worry, if I die tomorrow, you know, just...
Oh. Right. So,
The short story is I came home and she said, it's going to take 3 years and you're going to learn from me and auntie. And I'm sitting there with, you know, a pad and a pencil. And she said, and no pencil, no paper.
Oh.
You know, we talk, you listen, you remember. And so at the end of 3 years, on the very last day, she said, so everything you learn, she says, what I'm going to tell you now is not going to make sense to you, but everything you learned up until now is not about you. And she said, you'll probably get it when you're like 40 or 50. I'm like, what? No, I get it. She goes, no, you don't. But this is not about you. And so got home, walked into the house because I was living in Eva. Mm-hmm. And the phone rings and it's my older sister. She says, Mom just passed away.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
So it turns out Mom knew that she only had 3 years left.
Right.
But nobody expected her to go like that. It's like, it sounds dramatic, but that's actually the way it happened.
Wow.
Yeah. And they said my mom went out fighting because she was going to dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
And she sort of knew at one point that, you know, her days were numbered. So shortly after I left, she went to go sit at the kitchen table. And then she got weak. She couldn't sit up. And so they had to take her to the car, called ahead to Kuakini. And my late brother-in-law was driving and had to hold her up like this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when they got to the ER and, you know, the attendants came out to go get her, my late brother-in-law, Mike, said, your mom just hopped up out of the car and started fighting with the guys. Let me go.
Wow.
I want to go by myself.
Right.
So 2-3 steps up the stairs and she passes away.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so when I first meet Glenn Grant, and it actually when I first meet with him to start learning the tours.
Yeah.
I bring a pad and paper.
Yeah.
And he says, no pencil, no paper. I was like, what? He said, I talk, you listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So very, very old school.
Wow. And from there, you were a part of when he had the haunt?
Yeah. Right? Well, what happened is I was dancing hula for my cousin Keone in 94, and I was working at a hotel in Waikiki. And everybody was raving about this walking ghost tour in downtown, this professor from UH who told these ghost stories. So I went the following week. And when I started listening to him talk, you know, it kind of dawned on me that everything he talked about was most of what I'd heard growing up.
Yeah.
And the following week, when we go to Hula, my cousin Keone says, oh, by the way, my friend asked me to be part of this ghost tour to Waianae, so we're going to do the Hula part. So everybody's like, well, who's your friend? Like, turns out it's Glenn Grant.
Wow.
And so this goes on for a couple of years, and then one day Keone calls Glenn and says, oh, I can't make it this Saturday because I have to go to work in Washington, D.C. And Glenn's like, well, I don't know your half of the tour. And so Keone says, well, you know, Lopaka can do it. And Glenn said, well, I'm not sure because, you know, has he been studying the tour? And Keone said, he's been listening. So this is Saturday. And Monday, Glenn calls me and says, hey, you know, not bad. Pretty good job. You know, if I give you more work, are you willing? I said, okay, yeah. And so that's kind of how it happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because he was just amazing as a storyteller. And
he was magic.
He actually came to my project grad.
Wow.
We was at Dole Cannery, and you know, we got like 7 hours to kill, so right. Let's just throw in everybody. Mel Kabang was there, and then next on the schedule, Glenn Grant. It was like amazing.
Wow.
Always amazing to hear that guy.
That's funny because I do project graduations now. I think the most I've had was like 300 kids.
Wow.
Walking tour downtown.
Wow. Unreal.
It was pretty easy because it was 300 scared kids, so really wasn't much to do.
Jelly, do you know who Glenn Grant is?
I can't say that.
Oh, yeah, he was pretty much the go-to guy for, he would go on the news or pretty much anything televised that would go and reveal ghost stories of local Hawaii ghost stories.
Okay. So
all the stuff that we're going to most likely cover tonight was all kind of that. Growing up, that was the guy.
The godfather of ghost stories.
Basically. And he actually opened the, it was a coffee shop.
Coffee shop.
Right.
The Haunt.
Up by Puck Sally.
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of right, it long gone, okay, but it was.
By 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Okay, I know exactly, yeah. Yeah. I know exactly where that is.
And then how long was the Haunt around till that? Was that mid-2000s?
I think they opened 2001.
Yeah.
Finally closed like 2007 or 8. After he passed away.
Right.
Because after he passed away, we kept the tours going for about 2 years.
Okay.
You know, and that was hard because I figured, you know, my boss is gone, so, you know, no more chicken skin, no problem for me.
Yeah.
But then his business partner and I talked and we agreed, you know, maybe we should just keep this going, you know, for Glenn's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the reason you still do it today for him?
Yeah. You know, it's a cultural thing. You know, even though the people you love are gone, you still do things to honor them.
Yes.
You know, so nobody forgets that they were here.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's it for Glenn. And also for my mom and my auntie.
Right.
You know.
One of the famous first stories I remember him speaking on was the infamous, and I guess we'll go into this, while I drive in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you don't know this one, yeah, I guess you're not from here. I don't know, but while I drive in that across the street from Kalama.
Okay.
So Jaylene's very young, so she's not going to know. So it's now self-storage. It's a public storage place. Yeah,
I know.
Next to that really shady looking graveyard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I know the place.
So what was the evolution of this story? Like, what was the first sightings of her that led to, you know, where did she move after while I drive in shut down?
I think the first article was in 1959, and it was a Saturday, May 17th. The article was published by Bob Krause, and there was a double feature. And if you don't know what the old while I drive in was, there used to be this huge parking lot where you park your car,
mm-hmm.
and you attach the speaker to the window, and then you tune it to your radio, and there's a 700-foot screen at the end of the parking lot. And so you watch the image, but you hear this sound through your radio.
Oh, okay.
And there used to be a giant park playground during intermission where the kids would go play a giant snack bar.
Yeah.
And so during the second feature, the article says, woman went to the bathroom, came out, and saw what she thought was a Japanese woman in a white kimono standing in front of the mirror, brushing her long black hair.
Mm-hmm.
And in the article, the woman says she kind of stood next to the woman, was washing her hands like this and looked up. And saw the woman put her hairbrush down because her hair was in front of her face. And she grabbed her hair like this and pulled it back. And she saw she had no face.
Oh.
Yeah. And so that was the birth of the faceless lady of Waialae.
Right. Yeah. Right. And since Waialae Drive-In has moved on, what has become of her?
The first sighting of her was in 1997. Two security guards, the area in Times Kahala.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're making their rounds 2 o'clock in the morning, and the parking lot was semi-empty, and they saw their third friend, who was a security guard in his aloha shirt, slacks, nice shoes, standing by the ATM machine next to the Times. And he was holding hands with what they thought was a Japanese girl because she had long black hair, and she was wearing a short floral dress. He's holding hands with her like this, but her back is facing them. But he's facing them, but she's kind of like turned around. And so they drive their golf cart up and like, oh, bro, what you doing here, bro? What? Party, party. You going to eat a Sunday? What? You guys going out? Never get drunk. How come you're on your night off, bro? What you doing? And they said he's just standing there stoically like this, you know, no expression on his face. And they're like, oh, bro, introduce. Who that? Who that? And so they claim the girl slowly turns around like this and she has no face. And they both disappear.
Oh.
They find out that at the exact hour, a couple days later, the exact hour when they saw their friend was the same time when he was killed in a car accident in front of Kualoa Ranch, coming back from a party in Ho'ula.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What do you think of that one? Really?
Yeah, see?
This is just the start here. See? This is... So, I guess through hearsay and through, I guess, people just talking, it didn't go to Kahala Mall? Or is there something else going down in Kahala Mall? Like people would say in the movie theater restroom, yeah. Or in that long hallway that's by Apple Store.
Yeah, she eventually moved to Kahala Mall where she's at now.
Oh, okay.
And she's mainly in a store that I can't mention because I am banned from Kahala Mall. I cannot bring my tours on the grounds.
Oh.
I'll be kicked out or arrested. I can come as a customer, but I can't bring my tour. Yes.
Well, it's a strange mall anyway. You know, it is. You don't need to go in there.
And the store she's haunting, you know, I can't say the name, but
it
rhymes with Tracy's.
Got it. It's a horrible one location. There's nothing ever in stock there. It's fine. But you'll be okay. Wow. Okay. So, well, I guess backtracking, what was the, as you were just listening to Glenn, do you remember the first story he ever told you that?
Yeah.
What was the first one that he was like, this is the, let's start with this.
Okay. The very first story was about how he arrived here in the early 70s. And he was renting out this beat up, old dilapidated shack. It was between two high-rise condominiums in the middle of Mo'ili'ili. He said it was right off of University Avenue. And so he said it was himself and four other guys. They were all candidates for their doctorates. And he said it was a steal because it's the early 70s. So for the rent, all they had to do was contribute $20 each.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How's that, huh? That ain't going to happen now.
So he said the first night there, they're sitting in the living room and trying to watch the football game. And you know, he said it's a TV set with a wire hanger and the aluminum foil. And he said the kitchen had no door, it had no windows, so when you turn the lights off, it was pitch black. But they hear somebody in the kitchen opening the drawers and shaking all the forks and knives and slamming the cupboard doors. And he said, you know, they had the big tin can or the steel garbage can, and they heard somebody throwing it around the kitchen.
Oh.
And so he said, pretty soon it's, you know, the five of us like Scooby-Doo inching closer to the kitchen. And he's volunteered to be the one to reach in and find the light switch. And he says when he finds it, this hand touches his, and he says it feels like scales on a fish.
Oh.
And so he screams, and he says, here we all scream, you know, screaming like girls. But when they finally get the guts enough to go turn on the light in the kitchen, nobody's in the kitchen.
Wow.
And everything's fine. Nothing's disturbed. Nothing's destroyed.
Yeah.
A couple of days later, one roommate comes home with his girlfriend, and he goes to take the shower, and it's the stand-up shower. It's a tub, but it's stand-up, you know, hot and cold, and the shower ring curtain like this, clear plastic curtain. And when the guy's taking a shower, he sees the silhouette of his girlfriend coming to the shower. So he opens the curtain like this, hears her get in behind him, and he closes the curtain. And pretty soon she like open hand slaps him from behind right across the face. And he's like, oh, what the hell? Hmm. And, you know, he washes the soap off, opens the curtain, and the door is locked from the inside. Nobody's in the bathroom.
Wow.
And he said the last straw was this kid named Tommy Choi, came from a well-to-do Chinese family from Lilia. And he was sleeping in the back room on a cot, military cot with a blanket, and they could hear him going, So they're knocking on his door, Tommy, it's 9 o'clock, your class starts at 9:15, get up. So they open the door and they see him underneath a blanket like this, shivering, and Glenn said he just reached out to tap him on the toe, even though it was covered by the blanket. So he said when he touched the blanket fell flat on the cot and it slid off and nobody was on it. And so he says, here we are, you know, that night with the landlord, the old Japanese lady in our living room. And he says, each one of us tell her our ghost stories that we encountered in the house, and we're sitting down. And he says, they're all sitting down like this, looking at her, waiting for her to say something. And she finally says, oh, I'm so sorry. I forget to tell you before you come to this place. The lady who rebuilt this house, husband, fool around. She is so mad. She go inside the kitchen. She hang herself. Her yokai obake haunt this house. She hate men.
Wow.
Hmm.
So Glenn says, now I have a ghost in my house that hates men.
Convenient.
My boss says, within 6 months after talking to the landlord, he said every single one of his roommates were killed in very terrible car accidents.
Are you serious?
Every single one.
Wow.
And so he said he owned this 57 Chevy Bel Air station wagon. He customized it, painted it. And it's 2 a.m. He's driving through the intersection of South King and University, and there's no traffic. But he said the second he makes the intersection, his truck comes out of nowhere and just completely destroys his prized possession. And then he said, I lived. And he's sitting there, and he goes like this and pulls his hair back, and there's a scar. Goes all the way back this way.
Right.
Wow.
He said, I was the only one that lived.
Wow.
And he said, that's kind of one of the things that started his curiosity about ghosts in Hawaii.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. If that doesn't suck you in right there, that's it. That's what they call the chicken skin, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Wow. Unreal. And so from there, well, another one that comes to mind, we got to cover, just for the sake of making this official, is good old Morgan's Corner.
Oh, Morgan's Corner.
That's another one that's
Where's
just through the
that
years.
Supposed to be?
Good question, yeah.
Where is that supposed to be?
It's right off the new Wanupali Drive.
Okay.
And other people have claimed that there are different Morgan's Corners, but that's actually the one. And so the long and short of it is Dr. Morgan lived in an estate, the Morgan Estate, on the corner of the new Wanupali Drive. It's the hairpin turn. And a lot of times there would be car accidents, you know, kids racing. So he would have to come out of the house, walk down the hill, and treat these people. And it happened that Therese Wilder lived across the street. So a lot of times he would have to go and treat her. And Therese Wilder is the one, I think she was beaten and robbed and then tied to a chair. And she actually ended up suffocating because they tied her too tight from 3 or 4 local men who actually did it. And so that's how it got the name Morgan's Corner, because it's the Morgan Estate house that's actually on the corner of the hairpin turn. But later on, they associate the urban legend of the boy and girl parked in the car late at night.
Right.
That one.
Yeah.
What's that one?
Oh, good question, Jimmy.
Oh.
Sorry.
See, this is all new to her. This is all new game.
So the urban legend is the boy and girl parked in the car late at night, obviously doing homework.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes time to go, the car doesn't start. So the boyfriend says to the girlfriend, you stay here, I'll go get help.
Mm-hmm.
And so the story goes, while she's waiting in the car, she hears... too afraid to get out of the car, so she falls asleep. When she wakes up, it's a police officer knocking on the window, and she gets out of the car, and the officer says, ma'am, come with me. But she's saying, where's my boyfriend? Where's my boyfriend? He says, ma'am, please come with me. When he goes to put her in the car, she turns around, and her boyfriend is hanging upside down from the branch of a tree that's hanging over the car. And so what she heard the whole night was his blood dripping on the roof of the car from the slit throat.
Wow.
The body was swinging, and this was the sound of his hands scratching the roof as it swung back and forth.
Wow.
But that's an urban legend, and that story is in practically every state in the United States.
Oh, okay.
It was started, I think, late 40s, early 50s, in order to prevent unwanted teenage pregnancies.
Oh.
Yeah, because back then, if you got pregnant, they put you in a home for wayward girls.
Oh.
Wow, that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
That's every classic horror movie premise, you know. Yeah. I'll be back.
Always.
I'll never come back. And so
it ends up being the boyfriend who's the killer.
Exactly. Well, there's one that kind of hits home with us, because we both are employed by this place called the Honolulu Club.
Oh.
And
wow.
What is that reaction?
That's a good reaction, because there has been many stories, and we actually have video footage.
Oh, really?
About a couple of... So about maybe 3 years ago, of an entity in the spa, where my manager at the time actually went on Halloween after midnight to go and basically look for ghosts. And he literally went into the spa, into the room. He had a flashlight. He filmed it. He put the flashlight on the bed, and he spoke to a spirit, and the spirit turned the light on.
Wow.
And then he said, thank you. Could you turn the light off? And the spirit did.
Wow.
And it's a phenomenal video. I don't know if I showed you this. I posted this on Instagram again today.
I haven't seen it yet.
So with that said, it was having a conversation over the lights going on and off of being the yes or no. And so there is a graveyard next door to the Honolulu Club.
Yeah.
What have you heard any stories regarding that area? of Ward Avenue.
Well, you know, the thing is, from Thomas Square all the way down to Kewalla Basin, that was the Ward Estate. And that belonged to the Ward family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was called the Old Plantation. Apparently, the duck pond at the Blaisdell Arena is actually part of the old pond that belonged to the Ward family.
Okay.
And so in the old days, when they were making human sacrifices, they would either drown them at Kewalla Basin or in that pond.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, employees at Blaisdell late at night after everything's closing up say that sometimes they see the bodies of Hawaiian men just underneath the water like this. Just floating.
Right.
You know, as far as the Honolulu Club, during the smallpox epidemic, 1853, 1854, there's so many people that were killed by smallpox that a lot of these graveyards had no room for them. So they were like improvised graveyards, you know, just to hold the bodies.
Yeah.
That cemetery, the Honolulu Club is sitting on one half of it, as is Hawaiian Electric and KITV.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so is Straub.
Yeah.
Oh, Straub as well.
Yeah. And so it went, I think, up to Baritania. And last year, Channel 4 News had me in that graveyard talking about the ghost of a little girl in white who haunts that cemetery. And what I didn't know is people in that KITV 4 building see the same ghost.
Oh,
really?
Okay. Yeah.
And when a TGIF Friday was around, they would see it in the bathroom and other kinds of
shows. Right, yeah, I've heard that.
Polani Vaughn, who worked out at the Honolulu Club.
Yeah.
Yes.
Used to tell me that sometimes he would work out and through the peripheral he thought he would see a little girl one day go like this.
I actually thought I saw one too because I used to work in the food and beverage department. I would be in the kitchen and sometimes to make I would be there at like 4 o'clock in the morning and I would just be kind of like out of it. It's like that early morning cooking and I would either like feel or see like a little girl in white like passing by.
Mm-hmm. Because that was, well, ironically, in the video, that's what, in the discussion, she reveals that she is a young girl.
Yeah.
And she's not a bad spirit, I guess.
No.
She's just there.
Yeah, one of my old coworkers from that department, she was telling me, like, she kind of has that, I guess you'd call it, like, a sixth sense. And she said, you know, there is a spirit here, but it's not, like, a bad one.
Yeah.
There's just a spirit here, and she comes here. She doesn't mean any harm, but she's here. Okay.
Yeah. So when I blessed this place, I told the owner, I said, you know, do you know the history of this place before you built it? He says, no. I said, in ancient times, it was a training ground for warriors who were preparing themselves for war.
Really?
Yeah.
And wow.
He said, wow. He said, it kind of coincides with what this place is about. So it's, you know, the BJ Penn UFC gym.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know,
wow.
And he told me, he goes, that makes sense because when they first did the soft opening, the Muay Thai heavy bags would like swing by itself.
Oh.
And there'd be nobody by it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then before that, well, I'm sure, were there things that happened when it was Pipeline before that?
Oh, no. This is the one in Waikele.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. And that place, the whole shopping center has a night march or procession that still comes through it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It goes through the old Kmart across the parking lot to, what is it now, Lowe's?
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
But when it first opened, the next day, one of my friends was working at that Kmart, and he came to work, and they said it looked like the giant arm came into the store and just went like this and swept everything to one side.
Whoa.
So one half of the store is just piled up against the corner. And
wow.
Then, I think it was Eagles
Hardware.
Crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
They had the same problem.
Unreal.
Wow. Yeah.
When you do these tours, and you know, you've done, geez, thousands. Has anything happened actually on the tour itself that kind of threw you off of the whole situation? Or
there was one night we were going through their fence up at Kionaole Road by the Kolau Ballruns.
Yeah.
And we were halfway up the road and we heard drums and chanting and then we started smelling sulfur and I had about 53 people. So I had to figure out how to get 53 people back to the bus without anybody panicking and, you know, running each other over.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, everybody, go back to the bus. And everybody's like, what's the matter? I said, do you hear that? Like, oh, yeah, somebody's, you know, playing drums and it sounds like Hawaiian chanting. I said, so everybody go back on the bus. And so I'm turning around, I'm like, okay, let's go, let's go. And finally, it's like, what is it? I'm like, it's Night Marchers, let's go. So like, ah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so the big panic is these people are now running back to the bus. The bus driver's sleeping like this, and he looks up. He sees people running, and he puts it in reverse.
Oh.
So now I have to outrun 50-some-odd people to go catch up to the bus and jump on and tell the guy, what the hell are you doing? Stop the bus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That was scary.
Jeez. How long ago was that?
2000.
Wow.
Yeah.
There was one as so I've been following your YouTube where every day you're releasing a different story leading up to Halloween. And there was one that caught my attention that was a great one. It was a short one of yours, Bob Kawamoto.
Oh.
I thought that was a fascinating story, if you could.
You know, the funny thing about that Bob Kawamoto story is at Bamboo Ridge.
Yeah.
There have been so many reports of guys going out there fishing, and they always see this beautiful Hawaiian woman. She's underneath the water going like this to them, or she's pulling the line.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they actually see her sitting like out on the rocks, you know. And I thought it was the goddess who that place is dedicated to, Malay. But after more research and help from my one of my friends is a, I have to say she's like a professor of mo'o. That's actually a mo'o'ahine.
Oh.
You know, who comes to basically tempt men to come take a swim.
Right.
Yeah. And so in the story, that's basically how Bob Kawamoto's hair turns white.
Right.
Because of that encounter.
And that was a true story.
That's a true story that actually happened to her.
So you got to check that out, Jaylene.
Okay.
I know you're already just excited as ever to hear more stories, but it's just a phenomenal story, and that actually happened on your tour.
On my tour.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Wow.
Would you go and partake in this tour, Jaylene, after this? Doesn't this one get you going?
It kind of does, actually.
Right.
Like, I'm a little bit, but I'm really curious.
How does one sign up for this one?
One goes to mysteries-of-hawaii.com.
Yep.
And there's a whole bunch of information. And we're about to post a link to our brand new shirts, Mysteries of Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
That's a pretty cool shirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's great.
This is the Inugami. So the girl is possessed by the Japanese dog demon, if you can see that.
Yes, I can. Wow.
And so we're doing a series of Japanese, you know, obake and yokai, so... After this is the Kasha. We're going to do the Kapa, the Faceless Woman.
Uh-huh.
And another interesting one called, they call it Ameona, or the Rain Woman. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then after that is, you know, the Hawaiian stuff, Korean stuff, Portuguese stuff.
That's cool.
Every ethnicity that's in Hawaii.
Wow.
Yeah. Unreal. So on average, the tours are about how long?
About an hour and a half for the walking and 2-3 hours for the driving.
Okay.
Yeah. The Waianae tour, we don't really... offer too much because too many things have happened, so you've got to actually request
that. Oh, wow.
Well, you mentioned why and I.
Yeah.
There's other things you got to worry about besides, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, so the why and I one, you've done, that's a two-hour one as well? Or
yeah.
There must be a lot of stuff going on that you could show.
You know, what happened for a two-year period is we would have people come on a tour and just things would start happening to them.
Oh.
And what I began to realize is, because I talked to these people after, is they had severe personal problems and issues that they didn't, you know, quite take care of. And some were manic depressive, others were on certain types of, you know, medication.
Oh.
And so it seemed to me that whatever does or doesn't happen on these tours is dependent upon the type of people who show up. So that's why I never say, I can make you see a ghost, right?
Right.
You know, it's stupid. It's like selling insurance or a car.
Right.
But it was a wonderful and scary thing to realize that we, as people, are the ones who make things happen. And in my research, I found out that ghosts are only where people are at. So ghosts can't function by themselves because there's no energy from a human being to interact with. So what I'm saying is, if you have a teenager who's highly emotionally disturbed and going through issues... and you have a poltergeist in your house, the poltergeist can only do what it does when it acts through a human agent. So if that teenager is not present, nothing happens. It's only when the teenager is in that spot when all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
And that's from personal experience and lots of research.
Right.
And so this is why we have to stop doing the Waianae tour after a while, because these people would cause these things to happen.
Got it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's that was directly related kind of to the movie itself, Poltergeist. I mean, if you're, have you seen Poltergeist?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Have you seen both versions?
I don't believe I have, actually. Okay.
See the first and the second.
See the first and the second. Yeah. Good viewing. Maybe after, you know, maybe tonight.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's exactly what I want to do next.
Yes. So we don't want to keep you any longer. So, yes, you're a busy guy. You have a tour tonight? Are you going back out?
This is it.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go home and have some unhealthy food.
Well deserved. We want to thank.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, Paco, man, thank you. This was great stuff. I know you've been doing the rounds because it's Halloween, you know.
Oh, you know.
I can only imagine how many.
Our other busy time is April.
Oh,
really?
April? Why April?
Tax time.
And, scary.
Yeah, and Golden Week and people coming home on vacation.
Oh.
Right, right.
So fortunately, a lot of people from Japan have, you know, 4 years of English, so they... I don't want to say they understand the tour because I think sometimes they understand it too much. And they're like, okay, that's it. Thank you so much. Tour is great. We got to go. But Japanese people are surprised to find out that there's so much Japanese ghost in Hawaii.
Right.
And the most popular ghost story in Hawaii is a Japanese one, not a Hawaiian one.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow. So I hope you... Did you pick up a lot of these old classics, classic local ghost stories here?
Yes.
Okay.
What's your ethnicity, by the way?
I'm Filipino and African American.
Okay. So, next time we come, we'll talk about Filipino ghosts.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
It's a show in itself, I think.
I think so.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, well, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
And we will take a break. We'll be back. Sleep time's over.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Time's Over. Time's over. No sleeping tonight.